Are we having children's church this morning? Not today? Okay. Well, let's begin in prayer. Father, this morning as we open your word and look into the very life and mind of the Apostle Paul, we always ask that you would teach us, that we might apply these words to our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. The title of my message this morning is Living a Life of Contentment. I don't think many people are absolutely content. I see road rage. I see in the sports people trying to kill each other. I see marriages that are falling apart. It's struggle, and there's anger all over this world in every aspect of life. When I look at Paul's life, he was in a prison when he wrote a letter to the Philippian church, a church in Philippi. He was bound, and he was unable to minister as freely as he had always wanted to do. His circumstances were dire, desperate situation. The circumstances in which he was undergoing was he was awaiting a conviction, possibly death. And it's easy to abandon hope and your faith when you're in a situation like that. But Paul, as we know him, was not like that. He tells us that his future was very optimistic and that he was looking forward to the future. That was the kind of life that he led. He was very content with his situation. He found peace and he found joy in his life, and he called for others to find peace and joy in their lives also. So we're going to be looking at a very popular scripture this morning. It's Philippians chapter 4. We're all familiar with verse 13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we're going to look at verses 10 through 14, through 13 this morning. And we'll get to that very point. Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13. Paul says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. A number of years ago, a survey was taken of 100 famous people in Hollywood. And the one question was asked to them, what would you change about yourself if you could change anything? All 100 of these famous people had an answer. Some wanted to be taller, some shorter, some blonde hair, some wanted a different shaped nose, some wanted to be longer fingers, they had little short fingers, some wanted to be less heavy. Every possible answer in the world was given. Some wanted more freckles, some wanted less freckles. I would ask the same question to you. If you could change anything about yourself, your body, your life, your situation, would you? And I propose to you that there's a problem with this picture. That if we say, yes, I would change this, I wish I had this, or I wish I was looking like this, or I wish I was not in my life situation, then what you're saying is, I don't like the way God made me. He didn't make me the way I would really like to be. You know, if I were making myself, if I could do that, then I would be taller, or I would be shorter, I'd have less freckles or more freckles. I would be different. I wouldn't be in the situation that I'm in. I would not like the station of life that you have given me. And it says that we really are not that content with the way that God made us. There's a story of two teardrops that were flowing down the river, and the first one said to the second one, "Who are you?" And the teardrop said, "I am a teardrop from a girl who loved a man and lost him." "What about you?" And the other teardrop said, "I am a tear from the girl who got that man." And so, you can be malcontent with the things that you have or the things that you don't have. And Paul says that I have learned to be content in all circumstances, every circumstances that I have. And so we're going to look at these verses, and he teaches us first that there is a source of contentment. He says, "I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances." I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. He had some low points in his life. I think they drug him down a little bit into depression from time to time, and he learned from those. He wondered whether the church in Philippi really loved him. He hadn't heard from them. He loved them, so he had formed that church there, and yet he hadn't heard from him, and he needed to hear from them. And even though they had not responded, he says, even though they did finally find time and a way to respond to him, he says, "You know, even if you had not responded, even if you had not, I would have been content. I would have been content." Because he said, "I've experienced plenty and I've experienced need." This church has had hardships. We all know that. We've gone through some trials. I would hope that it would not get you down. I would hope that you would have your head high and know that God is in control of this church. God is in control of the pastor that will be coming here to become our pastor. He's in control of the leadership. He's in control of the membership. He is in control. And so there are times when we've had plenty, and there are times when we have had need. Paul says, "I've been through all of those." And we all have circumstances in our own lives that try us, that take us to our knees wanting help. In the second letter to the Corinthians, he says, if you think that you've had trials and struggles in your life, chapter 11, verse 23, forward, Paul says, "I have worked much harder. I've been in prison more times. I've been whipped much more. I've been near death more often. 5 times I was given 39 lashes by the Jews. 3 times I was whipped by the Romans. And once I was stoned, and I think he was left for dead. I've been in 3 shipwrecks. And once I spent 24 hours in the water. In my many travels, I have been in danger from floods and from robbers, from my own people, from Gentiles. There have been dangers in the cities, dangers in the wilds, dangers on the high seas, and dangers from false friends. There have been work and toil. Often I have gone without sleep. I've been hungry and thirsty. I have often been without enough food, shelter, clothing, and not to mention other things. Every day I'm under the pressure of my concern for all of the churches. When someone is weak, then I'm weak. When someone is led into sin, I'm filled with distress." Life is not always easy. I don't think any one of us could even come close to the trials and the situations under which Paul lived. I mean, this was a godly man sent by the Lord to take the message, the gospel message to the Gentiles. And everywhere he went, there were struggles and hardships. Most of us would have said, that's it, maybe tomorrow, but no more. No more today, no more this year, no more. Marriage is sort of like that. It's a bed of roses, you think. You have a great time dating, and you fall in love, and you share with each other, and you go places, and you do things, and you have fun. And then you get married. And that bed of roses changes. I think when Carol and I got married, we got married in Fort Worth, and I lived in Seminole, Texas, 350 miles due west on the New Mexico border. When we were 100 miles from Seminole, in Snyder, there's a sign that says Seminole 100 miles, we had a sandstorm, and it sandblasted my car, and Carol had all of her clothing and a footlocker. Some of you older people know what a footlocker is. And it was tied to the roof of the car. And it was sandblasted. And Carol said, I want my daddy. I want to go home. She really said that. And there were times when I said, well, I should have just sent her home. But we made it to Seminole. When we got there and she opened her trunk, it was half full of sand. Life is full of difficulties and trials and needs and plenty. We had tumbleweeds attacking us. We had the sandstorms. We were far from our family. We had no money. One time we even followed a potato truck picking up potatoes that had fallen out to have enough food to eat. And so, were we malcontent or were we content? Were we unhappy in our lives? Well, 51 years later, we're still together. We don't follow potato trucks. We don't have sandstorms or tumbleweeds, but you know, we're still attacked and we still have issues and needs in our family. And so it's not like that. Paul knew about plenty. I mean, he came from a family that he was educated in a seminary. He was able to travel all over that part of the world and chase down Christians. He was educated. He lived a life of luxury. He had plenty. But he also had God's provision also. In this verses in 2 Corinthians, he says, when I was in Damascus, the governor under King Aretas placed guards at the city gates to arrest me. He was in a town, and he couldn't get out. They were trying to arrest him. But I was let down on a basket through an opening in the wall and escaped from him. That's how God took care of him. When he was surrounded by the Roman officers in that town, God provided a way of escape for him. And so he says, God's provision is sufficient for me through all of this. And so he learned about contentment. And all of these circumstances in his life taught him how to be content. And he wants us to learn from his life, and he wants us to learn from our circumstances. You know, many of us have said, well, how are you doing? Well, I'm okay considering the circumstances. If you ask somebody from Key Largo, Florida, how are you doing? Okay, considering the circumstances. Well, Paul would say, well, why are you under these circumstances? Why don't you get on top of them? Why do you let them press you down? Why do you let them take advantage, take your life and take control of your life? You don't have to live under your circumstances. You need to control them and not let them control you and dominate you. The word contentment, the way Paul used it, means contained. You contain within you the ability to make choices. You can either be like, there's two kinds of people. There's those who are the thermometer. You simply reflect what the life is around you. And then there are those who are the thermostats. You control the circumstances and you control life around you. And so, it's like having a flat tire. That's a circumstance. Are you going to get angry and heated and curse and kick the tire? That's letting the circumstance control you. Doesn't do you any good. Or are you going to say, okay, now let me call somebody or get out of the car and fix it myself and move on through life. I'm not going to be controlled about that. There was a young lady named Joni Erickson Tada. Many of you know her story. In 1967, she dived into the Chesapeake Bay, misjudging the depth of the water. And it fractured her cervical level between the fourth and the fifth one, and she became a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the shoulders down. Many of us, some of us in here, remember that happening. Prayer went out, I think, to every church in America for this young girl. She loved to ride horses. She loved to hike. She loved swimming. And now that was all over. What a circumstance that she was in. For the first 2 years of her life, she experienced anger and depression, and her faith in the Lord was challenged to the point that she was saying, no. Religious doubts were there. What has happened to me? How did I end up in this circumstance? Well, she learned how to paint with a paintbrush between her teeth, and she sold a lot of artwork. She also learned how to write. She wrote over 40 different books using a pencil between her teeth to write. She even starred in her own movie about her life. I picked out three books that she wrote that shows what happened to her life. She chose, at her early age, contentment and not depression, not resignation. In 1988, she wrote the book, Secret Strength for Those Who Search. In 1989, she wrote the book, Glorious Intruder, God's Presence in Life's Chaos. In 1991, she wrote A Step Further, Going Closer to God Through Hurt and Friendship. She decided that her circumstance was not going to rule her life, that she was going to accept God's position, her station in life. And I don't think any of us would like to have that life to live, but we have our own lives to live. And maybe we are, each one of us, handicapped in some way. We have situations that God has placed us in that we may not like. So are we going to become depressed? Are we going to say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? What do you want me to learn about this? Paul was in chains, waiting for a verdict. What was his response? What did Paul say when he was in prison in Rome waiting for the verdict about what they were going to do to him? Were they going to take his life, leave him in prison forever? Or what? Here's a man of God trying to do the Lord's work, and he can't very easily or as freely when he's in prison. What does he say in his letter? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He says, I've learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances, contentment is a choice. We can choose to be at peace and filled with joy, or we can choose to be depressed and miserable and full of hate and full of anger. It is a state of mind. Too often we say, if only I had a better job, if only I had more money, if only my wife loved me more, if only my parents would let me whatever, if only I could buy whatever. Contentment doesn't come from having more or having what others have or wanting or being liked by everyone, or even being liked by a certain few people. Paul's contentment came from the one fact, that he believed a truth about God. And that truth was that God has the overwhelming providence of God, how he rules our lives, how he trains us up, how he makes us stronger, more willing, more obedient Christians. Not if only. True contentment only comes from faith and trust in God who sent his only Son to die for us. He believed that in this overwhelming providence of God, that whatever's happening to me, I found this one way of saying it. Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which he upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and he rules them. He rules the rain and the drought, the fruitful and the lean years, the food and the drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty. All things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from his heavenly hand. And so Paul was able to write in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It was God in his providence that caused this church in Philippi to finally respond to him and say, hey, we love you, we miss you, just in time, just in time. Came at the very moment that he was feeling down, that was a low point in his life. Jesus says that he's our shepherd. When he's brought out his own, he goes on ahead of the sheep, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. This is the overwhelming providence of God as he leads us through life. And we need to be able to follow that. And since he believed in this providence, knowing what's going to happen and causing it to happen, this providence of God, he said, I can accept all things. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I trust him so much that he will provide whatever I need to keep me going, to make my life what it should be. He is the Almighty God. He desires to do these things in my life to me and for me, and because he is a faithful Father. And so it is an attitude that affects us, that motivates our behavior. I don't know much about your lives. I know most of you very well, to some degree. I don't know what all's going on. But I would hope that you would say, why am I all caught up and stressed in this? Jeff, you're going to have a stent placed on Friday. I would hope that you're content knowing that God's in control of all of this. Many of us have things going on. How do you handle it? It really is a matter of the mind and your heart. I've been a Christian for 39 years, beginning this October. October 1978 is when I became a Christian. And I look back on those 39 years, and 38 of those years I taught in Bible studies or Sunday school or somewhere, and tried to serve the Lord and tried to serve the church and tried to serve my brothers in Christ. Now, I look back on those 39 years, and I know they weren't perfect, and I know that I didn't always give my 100%, but I'm at peace about those years. I'm content that I did what I could do and will continue doing what I can do. And I would hope the same thing for you. Sometimes it wasn't easy. It's not always easy, even today. I'm attacked, not by tumbleweeds or by sandstorms, but by people that don't like what we're doing. Jeff and I as elders, and David, there's a struggle sometimes to protect the souls of the flock. And so we have to choose to believe in the providence of God in our lives. And if we accept that, then that enables us to accept all things. As Paul said, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He says, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. And so the secret lies in this power of God, in His providence, the ability of God to control and make your life what it should be. It's a divine power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the way it's written in the NIV. Some of the other translations are even better. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power of Christ in me. One translation says, I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and the power. The Amplified says, I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And then the Phillips translation says, I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me. And so it is God's power and His strength that gives us the ability to survive the trials and the struggles and the hardships in life. Paul talked about a thorn in his flesh. He prayed 3 times. And what did God say to him? He says, my grace is sufficient for you. You need not to worry about that, because my power is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that God's glory, His power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And so he says, I can do all things. I don't remember what age I was, but I was in the 3rd or 4th grade, but that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I had to learn. And I remember passing by a car and said, Christ is in me, I should be able just to lift that car up. I didn't try it, and I'm glad I didn't, because I really didn't understand that verse. It did not make the right sense to me at that point. But what it does say, and what I've learned, the full meaning of doing all things, is that when a situation is about to overcome you, when it demands spiritual strength beyond the normal, then Jesus strengthens us with the strength that is for that very situation. I think about a farmer. A farmer is the one occupation that I can think of where you're totally dependent upon the Lord. You may think of some other situation, but a farmer takes a seed and he puts it on the ground and he covers it with soil and it goes back to his house. He can't make it grow. He waits on the Lord to send rain and hopes that storms don't destroy it. When it germinates and grows up, and the storms could come along, or pests or vermin can come along and eat it up, he's totally dependent on the Lord. Some years he has a lot. It's a great yield. And some years there's not very much. But he's learned to give thanks for whatever the situation is in his life. I would ask the praise band to come on up now. Paul says, I have learned to be content whatever the situation, in all seasons of life, in the seasons of plenty and need. We all have a choice. We can be a thermometer, or we can be a thermostat. We can fuss and fume, or we can be content and say that I can make it through this because of the strength that the Lord gives me. I can do all things through Christ. So I would ask, do you trust the Lord? When Your circumstances are not ideal. Are you satisfied with your station in life, what you are and who you are and where you are and the circumstances about you? We have different roles. We have different spiritual gifts. We have different jobs and needs and families and difficulties. Are you content with who you are? I would hope so. It's the way that God made you. I always think about very famous words from Isaiah. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He created all the world. He never grows tired or weary. No one understands his thoughts. He strengthens those who are weak and tired. Even those who are young grow weak. Young people can fall exhausted. But those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not grow weak. And so God is able to do all of this for each one of us because He is the Almighty God. And He desires to do this because He is a faithful God. And so what is your station in life? What are your circumstances? Do you give Him praise and say, I rejoice in the Lord. I have peace in my life. I have joy in my life. I have contentment in my life that is beyond the understanding that can only come from our Lord. Let's pray. Father, you have placed us on this earth in our very situation. And you love us so, and you expect only one thing of us, that we honor you. That all that we have is just a piece of bread and some water. You can say that's not much. But if it's a piece of bread and water and Jesus Christ, then what else could I ask for? And so help us, Father, to trust you and your providence of knowing what's going to happen and why it's going to happen. That your plan for each one of us is perfect. That you love us so. And we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus. Amen.